We live in a fast-paced and hectic world where it's easy to feel overwhelmed, stressed, and out of control. How do you manage all the competing pressures without losing sense of yourself? How do you stay focused enough to not only plot a path, but follow it? Welcome to Master Your Life, a show that offers inspiration, insight, and intelligence, as well as success stories from many walks of life that can show you how you can control your own destiny. Our knowledgeable and entertaining host and her guests give practical advice that you can use every day in the quest to master your life. Now, here's your host, Leah Mattinson.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Master Your Life. I'm host Leah Mattinson, and first of all, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you who are joining us from wherever it is that you are on this beautiful world. I'm joined by my frequent recent guest, Dr. Ralph LaGuardia. On my headstone, it's going to say fun wrecker.
It's not popular. Well, you know, on holidays, it's very unpopular, but I forbid cell phones at the table. And young people go crazy, and I say, no, you're going to talk this holiday. It's a holiday, we're all going to be together. You can do it 3 days a year, it's not going to kill you. Well, you're going to interact with people, you're not going to stare at your phones and point to your phone and show them something you saw on YouTube. You're going to talk to each other, it's something unusual.
Right.
But I enforce it every year. And I have to keep enforcing it. They act like they never heard it before. What?
Right. They think you're going to slip and have a cognitive malfunction, and then one miraculous day they're going to get to sit there with their cell phones and win. So that's good that there's this little tension, but it's fun, and I'm so glad you're sharing that personal story of Dr. LaGuardia, because I think a lot of people do feel, why do I have to keep saying this over and over again? Why don't people just kind of remember that this is the rule when I'm trying to help them to feel better? And the truth is, you just have to. You just have to keep saying, no, we're not going to do that this way. And people right. have tantrums, but why have we become so weak to not be able to stand the little tantrums right. and to actually deal with them appropriately? Like, that's something that's wrong with us, where we're too checked out to actually go, hang on a minute. Right. You're not socialized properly. And if we're ever going to have a society that is socialized properly in a natural way, that's going to survive, you have to be able to give people candid feedback when they're right. doing things that don't get them in the club. If they're right. acting like a little, pathological creature, right. you have to do something to rein that in, because they're not going to change.
Well, one of the worst things they ever did in the United States, I'm sure they do in Canada as well, is participation trophy.
Oh, God, right?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What do winners get? I mean, nothing, same as everyone else. Then why strive to win? Why are we not recognizing excellence? You know, it's right. the same thing in the administration, the current Biden administration, which is a complete disaster. All we're doing is virtue signaling. If you're gay, a minority,
trans, yeah.
positions of power. We're yeah. just not, we have to be a meritocracy. It has to be merit-based. I don't want a guy, we just had a guy running head of nuclear waste disposal. He was openly transgender. Cross-dresser and come in with women's clothes and the whole nine yards, which is fine in private life. But you don't show up at a board meeting with that. You know, whatever you want to be in private life is fine. I've got no problem with it. I do have a problem with this guy. He's stealing women's luggage. He was arrested twice in the last month for stealing women's luggage in the airport. Can we not do any better than this?
Is this the same fellow that said something about kids?
Yeah, kids and dogs and sex with dogs, all kinds of crazy. They have young boys dressed up as dogs and just crazy sick stuff, in my opinion.
Right. So here's where you and I actually do have a difference of opinion on that. I think that if you know that somebody is aberrant, they should not get the job. If they're acting like they are jail material, like if you're a pedophile, if you're talking about children in any sort of sexualized way, right. you shouldn't get paid to have, and you shouldn't have any position of authority at all. And if that's part of the problem, I think there's not very many people of any honor anymore. Well, it doesn't matter if you've done all this horrible stuff in the past, and we've all done horrible stuff.
Well,
something, right? Not everyone's perfect, but there's a difference when you're like, there's a difference. And if you actually can't tell the difference, because people go, well, there's no difference between that and, having a late credit card payment. But no, there's a difference. And if
there is right and wrong, and there is more right. than you more. And that's, you're absolutely right. Those people shouldn't be hired at all. I mean, I was saying when you're doing private life, like, you know, it's no one in the business, which is fine, but you're right. If you're involving children in it, then you're crossing the line. You have that guy in Canada with you, unbelievably large breasts, the shopkeeper.
No, and I can't believe that he has not, A, been run off, whatever it is. I don't even know what the it is. And that the school division is actually, or the school board is defending him.
Right.
So again, here's these parents leaving their kids in there too. Like, where's the parents going? And I know parents go, I got to work. I can't pull all my kids out. You know, and this fellow is still going to get paid, which is, again, a completely ridiculous thing.
It's grotesque. He's doing his nipples, fake nipples on it. I mean, come on. Where in what world does that belong in a school?
Right. I mean, I felt like throwing up. When I saw that thing, I thought I'm not violent, but it's one of those things where I went, I might have a response that might not actually be very attractive to that thing. Because if my kids, if my grandchild ran into that person, and they're affected because I'm affected. So when people go, little kids aren't affected, people aren't affected by all this, that's baloney. You absolutely, we are. When we see things that are an aberration to nature, we have a natural response that goes, like that's, right. And to your earlier point, you know, where there are a few people who are gay, but you know who they are. Like, you know who they are from the time they're little, and that's pretty obvious. And, you know, they're not a huge percentage of the population, but this great big push and the hormonal changes, too, of people. I was listening to a professor I'll have to find the interview from a university, maybe Berkeley, and that he had done a study on frogs, and the frogs had been given a certain pesticide. Are you familiar with this study?
Yeah, and they had gay frogs and sexual deviation among frogs and all types of strange, and besides strange birth defects among them, where they have mixed organs and all types of different things. And that stuff all across the board, that holds up. All the studies show the same thing. A male fetus is not supposed to be exposed to high levels of estrogen. A female, even a female developing young girl, they're menstruating at 8 years old, they're developing breast buds at 7 and 8, because they too are developed a high estrogen level. Mm-hmm. And we're not doing many things, it's crazy stuff. But what you alluded to earlier upsets me more than anything. The sexualizing of children. Why is it okay to have transgender speakers come in and drag queens and talk to little kids? We wouldn't let a female stripper come in and talk to them. You know, we wouldn't. It should be across the board. That stuff. There's no place at all in the school systems for children to be exposed to any sexual stuff in the teacher. Any talk about transgender or anything about that, gay. You know, it's private school. They're teaching them how to use sex toys. I mean, what are you doing? You know, little kids. I mean, this is that should be illegal. You should be arrested for that. That's a pedophile. You know, that's some kind of weird sickness that should not be allowed. You know, for a moment. And it's nothing being homophobic. It's nothing being against transgender. It's the appropriateness of where it is. Mm-hmm. You know, drinking's okay. You can't drink at your job. You can't drink when you're a pilot. I mean, there's got to be certain limits to what you can and can't do. And, you know, normal people like us look at it and we're horrified by it. I mean, most people are. But for some reason, the powers that be protect this, have this protected class, and it's destroying society because it's making more and more strange things happen. The United States are protecting criminals. No bail and stuff. You know, you're not protecting, it's a tax against citizens. Guys rob banks or rape women, they get out the next day.
Right. And the pedophiles are out pretty quickly, too. It, within a year, some of them, right?
Minor attracted people. That's a new word for it. Come on. No matter what you call them, it's abnormal, it's sick behavior, and should not be tolerated.
Right. It's interesting that just, you know, 2 years ago, Jeffrey Epstein was considered this big sex offender and, you know, lining up all these people to have sex with, you know, young girls, and they're 14 years old, 14, not 3.
Right. Right.
You know, think about it. Yeah, you know,
things are getting crazier and crazier. The world is more upside down every day.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing? This is unbelievable stuff. You know, but
And I think two people are too overwhelmed, or they feel too overwhelmed to even know where to start. And so if we come back to kind of your sovereignty of your health and clear thinking, so that you actually have the stamina to fight these things with your intellect somewhat intact, because you need to have your wits about you to be able to.
You need to start, like you said earlier, you need to start at the family level. It needs to start at the local school board. You have to get involved in those meetings. When kids in the school, you have to go down there and find out what they're teaching them. And you have to be able to speak out against them if there's something you don't like going on there. And critical race theory and this stuff. And it's just teaching racism to young kids. It's crazy. It's just the opposite. I mean, I personally think they should never even ask your race on an application in college. Why put a race? Who cares? Just put your statistics down, what your scores were, you know, what your hobbies are, everything you want. But race should be immaterial, not hyper-focused. And it just seems weird. But I think then you also have to tell your local doctor, I don't want the jab. Mm-hmm. No, I've had to, or I never have. I just don't want them. And it's not his right to dictate to you what to do. My role as a physician is to advise, not to browbeat, not to, you know, to try to convince people. I try to convince them to do the right thing, but I always say to them, you're a big boy, you're a big woman, you're a grown woman. I'm just telling you what I think is best for you. But you have to speak out against these doctors, because unfortunately, the vast majority of my colleagues are on the Kool-Aid when it comes to the vaccine. Mm-hmm. And they're just blindly pushing it, you know, despite all the stuff we see. You alluded to it earlier about previous vaccines. We had the swine flu vaccine, 53 people died, and we pulled it nationwide. Now we've got hundreds of thousands dying, you know, and we're not, and not to mention all the morbidity from it, and we're not pulling it. And it's just, I mean, it's a failure of our authorities, it's a failure of the medical system, it's a failure of the CDC in the United States. All these things, they're just failing us at all across the board. Government's failing the people. And it's mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, again, it's like we've given over too much authority to the government, you know, governmental. They're trying to govern your mental state also. And we've let them infringe far too far into our personal lives, you know, and into schools and into all that, like into the school curriculum, into how the medical profession operates, just all of it. And this is not this, you know, last 5 years. It's been a very long time. But people go to me, why would there be a depopulation program at play? Because I'll say, this is about depopulation. I'll go, oh, come on. Come on. That can't be it. Well, what do you think it is? And I said, well, Bill Gates made it very clear in a recent, you know, not that long ago, said what would have to happen, you know, if we run a really great immunization program and fertility program. It was a TED talk, maybe even, I can't remember, but you can look it up. Bill Gates on, the
damage of Bill Gates did just in emerging third world countries with the vaccination program, killed and harmed hundreds of thousands of children.
Yes.
But his father was a eugenicist. System. Wanted world population control. But I say to people, then look up Klaus Schwab from the World Economic Forum. That's where a lot of this stuff started. And the reason for the depopulation is because we are pushing climate change and saying, well, okay, we have less people, we'll have less noise, we'll have less pollution, and we'll have a great world. And, you know, you own nothing and be happy, and we'll control everything. And to accomplish that, they need to get rid of a lot of people. And, it sounds crazy to the average person, because it is crazy. It's the mind. I mean, why would you want to hurt anyone, much less kill millions for your ends? And I think ultimately it will fail, but it's going to be a really bad transition period between now and then as they try to get rid of fossil fuel and they have nothing to replace it with. As much as I love alternative fuels, it would be great if we could, but we can't do it now. Just not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to do is starve millions of people to get rid of farming because it causes too much carbon dioxide release. There's too much. Yes, there is farming problems for sure. I wish the whole world was organic, but you can't produce enough food right that currently like that. And you just can't get rid of pesticides and fertilizers right now. And to do so, you're going to cause famine. You know, plain and simple. I mean, look at Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka was independent. They had produced tons of food. They were doing great. They went all in on this World Economic Forum program. Now they have a revolution. They're starving. The economy has collapsed. They're trying to do it in Holland now with the farmers, and they're protesting because crazy. What they don't know, I shut down the farm.
Yeah. And the Dutch farmers are some of the best farmers in the world. Speaking as a farm girl, they've made farmland out of ocean. It is incredible. It is incredible. And so, we need to, but I do want people to think about getting their education about Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab. They're not, Mike Myers, caricatures of the crazy global, they're real people. And the truth is, if you take a look also at the World Economic Forum website, you can see who else is members of the World Economic Forum. And you can see what they have in store for people. It's very, very blatant that people don't want to see it for whatever reason. But I know that one thing that's been very catalyzing in my life along the way, and I'm hoping it is for other people too, is not only your own health, but when you look at your kids and you go, man, they're not as healthy as I was. What is that about? Or my grandchildren, it's like, well, they're not thriving as much as I was thriving. And then what is it that I'm going to do personally? Not just complain about it, not just talk about it with my neighbors, but am I actually attending any of the local meetings about anything? Am I pulling my kids out of school? Am I offering homeschooling classes to people? Am I collectivizing in some way to get, services to me if the regular school system isn't working? What am I actually doing to stand up to this stuff? And again, if you're not clear-minded about things, you won't be able to. You're brainwashed, right? And you got to get yourself out of the brainwashing in order to effectively change anything. And the brainwashing has gotten worse because anyone who's had this jab also, you're affected neurologically, which makes you have brain fog. So it's even more of a fight, you have to really be the Rocky Balboa in your own life of trying to get yourself out of the,
still fighting over tooth and nail. I don't believe in it. I go, it's not that I don't believe in it. Statistics back up what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And a lot of patients still come in wearing masks. They drive themselves. I go, the rules have changed in Connecticut. You only need to be in a hospital or a nursing home to wear a mask, unless the practice for some reason decides to do it. But I said, why wearing a mask? And he said, well, I got used to it. I kind of feel good with it. You feel good in masks all day?
Yeah. About the slave mentality, hey? Right. That's the slave mentality. Yeah.
Well, she's a college student. Well, I went to college in the 70s. There would be riots if they tried to do the thing they do to their children now. Having to get vaccinated, wear masks, social distancing. We would have had none of that. Yeah. They wouldn't have even tried.
Yet the age of people who are pushing it are are the baby boomers. Right. Interestingly enough, right?
Right. But as young people, they would have never stood for it.
No. Yeah.
That stuff would have never flown now. But the children are going through it. 20-year-old college students are many of them passive.
Mm-hmm.
And not a rebellious group at all. They bought into the vaccine big time, too.
Mm-hmm. And why? Because they're dying, too. So why have they bought in? Because they can't go to school if they don't get a jab.
Right. Which is, now, think about what that would do for a nation. You're taking the smartest people and vaccinating them and making them infertile. If you wanted to control a population, that is a good way to start.
Mm-hmm.
Take the intelligentsia out and then work your way down from there. Bring in millions of people who are uneducated, who you can easily control, and you've got a prescription for good government control there.
Yeah, 100% true.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, and we've dumbed down. I think our IQ is dumbed down about 10%. The last thing that I looked at, and that was prior to COVID. So part of our, for those of you who don't know, part of our Western heritage pride, and that doesn't, it just means that, is that your intellect was stronger, higher. Your intelligentsia was higher. And this was a measure of success in some, and stability more so in life. And so now we've got this en masse people who are requiring more help and assistance because of being dumbed down. And so we're doing it to our kids through the foods that they eat and actually our own behavior. So the whole virtue signaling, people getting the jab, jabbing their one-year-old. There was somebody that just died recently that was a doctor that was just very pro-COVID jab. I can't remember the name of it, but I'll pull it off of my my Cole's notes and put it in maybe the next interview. But he was very proud of being somebody that was totally for this vaccine and sticking it in his one-year-old's arm. And he died just last week of the SADS, just dropped dead.
Right.
Yeah. So
nothing everywhere, but yeah, you know, we're not even doing the things to support pregnant women. I mean, in the old days, pregnant women were told to eat eggs, to eat liver once a week, to, you know, a lot, drink milk, a lot of whole foods that they would get. In addition to which, they were pushing even iodine and stuff because it helped them. Now, and we know, we talked about this one other time, but iodine, if you have a deficiency of iodine, iodine is directly responsible for brain development, neurological development. So consequently, if you have, we've known this for 100 years, that if iodine is low, babies born cretin with a small brain, microcephaly, not developed, they don't live, they die shortly after. What they never made the leap to, though, was, why not supplement with iodine? A guy named Fleshus at Virginia, a doctor, did a lot of studies on this, and he's found that if you supplement iodine, you raise the fetus's IQ by 20 points on average. Why are we not pushing? Why are we not telling every pregnant woman to take some kelp, organic, easily assimilated form of iodine? In addition to which, it has all the essential amino acids with it that your body needs. Essentially, amino acids that are amino acids your body can't produce, so you have to get them in a diet. Same thing with essential fatty acids. And those are responsible for it, and that's why you have to have. Liver is a superfood. Liver is jam-packed with vitamin A, minerals, trace elements, proteins, everything you need. Why are we not pushing that on instead of giving them synthetic vitamins?
Questions to ask yourself, right? So. Right. Yeah, that why would you do that, or why would you do that to your loved one if they have an option of actually having a healthy baby versus having a baby that's struggling? You know, that again, we've lost a lot of this intelligence that was handed down through families, you know, grandmas, great grandmas, grandfathers, great grandfathers.
It was actually part of the medical protocols too, up until the 1940s.
And what changed?
After the war, we went heavily into pharmaceutical, heavily into industrial farming. Well, you know, all the things we shouldn't have done, we did, and got away from the basic stuff.
Yeah, I want to actually talk about industrial farming because I came upon a very interesting video that when people think that things are really far out and that there is not a hijacking of humanity, like human beings, I came upon this, and I don't even know how I got it. I'll just show the screen for anyone who's going to actually watch it, maybe see if people can see it. It's called Ectolife. And I won't play it, but you guys can look it up on YouTube. So it's called Ectolife, E-C-T-O, Life, L-I-F-E, the world's first artificial womb facility. And I was going, is this real? Like, are you kidding me? So these people are able to grow 30,000 babies. A year.
Have a home unit. You can gestate your own fetus in your home, a little pod that provides all the nutrients it needs, filters the fetus and blood and stuff, just like a mother would do. So we don't really need mothers anymore.
Don't need mothers. And so I know you're laughing, but honest to God, I'm so creeped out by a lot of this stuff. You just go, and how they position it is.
Person, not mother.
Yes. I know they do all the time. I love men. I do. I love men and I love women and I love that we have our own things that we do really well. And, you know, I gave birth to a couple of children. I can't imagine my husband doing that. I don't think he'd have been a fan of that idea, you know, so it's like.
My favorite story is from the war in Afghanistan. We sent over some government agents and went over there to speak to the tribesmen. And they tried to explain to them that, yes, men can get pregnant too. And the tribesmen burst out laughing, of course, and said, not in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Not here.
I saw that. I think that was like something to do. What is a woman?
It was something American aid thing or something.
Yeah. And they just laughed. It's like that would. And they were asked, I think, would you like to live in a country where women, where, you know, that thinks this kind of stuff? And they're like, no, absolutely not. So what they're peddling this as, though, this whole fertility thing, again, is just horrifying to me, because the how they're peddling this product is that you, if you've had your uterus taken out because you've had surgery, because you've had cancer. So what have we just been talking about in this show? Rapid cancers, people losing their this and that, fertility being completely decimated on both sides. So what's the most convenient solution? Well, let's just have a little birthing pod, little alien baby.
No C-section, no pain.
No pain, no anything.
You can avoid sex.
Oh my God. And you can even avoid sex. Good Lord. Oh my God. Anyway, so I just, again, it's like I'm
very pro-sex.
I'm very pro-sex also. Very pro-sex. Oh my gosh. I think everyone should be making more love and watching less TV.
Greatest gift from God ever gave us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it activates the most chi. It's better than going to the gym for an hour, although going to the gym is nice. It's definitely not the same. So yeah, we need to somehow.
Pornography addiction.
Oh, huge. God. Right. Huge. Yes. Very huge.
Obsessed with pornography. I stayed for hours every night looking at porn on their television and not having sex with their partner. Because it's not as fulfilling from their point of view as anything they could find to arouse them on the internet.
So is that both men and women?
More men than women, but across the board, a major problem that probably will surface in a year or two because it's, I mean, most, you know, people, they find people at their jobs looking at porn sites all day, you know, on the computers, and people are obsessed with it. And it gives a skewed idea of sex, first of all, as not being anything emotional, not being anything loving, just being painting and whatever can turn you on, and which is the totally, you know, it misses the beauty of it. The beauty of holding someone and kissing them, slowly arousing each other and, you know, to a climax. I mean, what is better than that? There's no porn that can compete with that.
Yeah.
But in people's minds, once they get habituated to that, that's what they prefer. That's also causing a drop in birth rate.
Yeah, and that very interesting to the pop-up ads that happen on some of the social media sites that lead people to want to be activated sexually much sooner. I was looking through somebody's TikTok feed. They were showing me stuff, and they were looking at mainly political things. But what popped up between every single video was a suggestive girl between each video. So it's like you can scroll through it and past it, but you still have to actually see it. And I said, what the hell is that? And they're like, what? Because they've seen it so often that they don't even notice it anymore. But our brains are picked on that stuff. Like we do have these patterns that change in our brain that make us more susceptible to things that are suggestive or sexually suggestive. And our kids are seeing that stuff too. Like it pop things that pop up that they would have never been, they would have never been had to see prior. You know, I can remember being young and going, wow, when somebody had to buy a penthouse, it was a big deal.
Right, like right.
They had to ask whoever it was. That's right. And they were the dirty old man around town. That was,
You know, it's interesting with TikTok, it's Chinese. And in China, it's completely different than the United States and the Western world. In China, it's all educational. There's not the TikTok is completely different. There's all programs and empowering things. There's all positive messages. Work hard, be a good citizen, blah, blah, blah. You know, you go to school, learn things. There's all educational programs with it. They export to us the other stuff that undermines our society. They talk against Western values, you know, democracy and voting and freedom and all that, and pushing pornography, pushing all kinds of sexual deviancy and stuff. You know, in the long term, they know what that will do to our society. And they're wise enough not to allow it in there. That's why in the United States now, several states are starting to ban TikTok, the growing movement. It's, very aggressively changing here.
That's interesting. Wasn't there actually one of the governors that did not want TikTok brought in when DeSantis. Donald Trump was kind of, DeSantis didn't want? Yeah, I remember that and going, wow, that would have been.
All right. But he's really proactive. And, you know, just makes all the right moves with that.
Right. And so here we are. The programming piece, though, I want people to pick up on, because it doesn't matter if the programming is good programming or crappy programming. Good programming is obviously better, but you're still being programmed. So ask yourself, like, what the heck am I doing on this device all the time? Like, what? How many hours a day? How many hours are you doing screen time? You know, and it's like, oh, well, I just have to watch one more of this thing. I go, God, Lord, like, can't you get outside and do something, or get up and, you know, cook some good food, or grow something, you know, in your garden, or grow something in your, you know, stand up, whatever.
Lost to relationships. I mean, instead, you're not interacting with your wife or your husband or your boyfriend or girlfriend or your sibling. You're interacting with a screen with an AI program that keeps suggesting things that you like and just feeding you, sucking you further into it. But, you know, the flip side of all that other stuff is lost. All the great things, all the laughter, all the jokes, all the practical jokes, all the things you do in life that just make it seem so enjoyable. Because when you're on your deathbed and you're laying there dying, you're not going to be thinking about your money. You're not going to be thinking about anything you saw online. You reflect on your life. Your life's a lot shallower and a lot sadder and a lot poorer overall if you have less love in it, less family interactions, less friends. But those are the things you remember. Those are things that make life worthwhile. Looking back on great vacations you had with friends or parties you went to and just fun things you did, not things you saw online.
Yeah, very powerful point, like that being interactive with people in this time of year in person is a great opportunity to do that and to remember that it wasn't that long ago that most people weren't connecting in person with anybody. And so that, you know, again, it's the, we forget our freedom, much like your example of the person who's wearing the mask and then didn't want to take it off because they've become comfortable with it.
Right.
You know, we need to break out of the chains that are binding us into these ideas that it's natural to be separate from other people and to not be loving and considerate and laughing and really in reverence with our fellow human beings.
And, what humanity is all about.
It is.
We're losing it. We're losing it step by step, our humanity, and with it, our moral. And consequently, you have all the things that come from that. You know, they just push, you know, everyone's freaking out in the United States. Yes, we have mass shootings. It's a gun problem. It's a mental illness problem.
Oh, yes.
You know, the more, Houston has way more guns than Chicago, and Chicago has rashes on murders every day. It's ridiculous. It's safer in Afghanistan than it is in Chicago. And, you know, we're failing these communities completely. You know, every time I look into every mass shooting, almost every time it's an isolated male who is obsessed with the internet and video games and gets radicalized online or freaks out online for something. They have no friends, they have no social life. They're just this same thing, an angry young man. Mm-hmm. And we're creating hundreds of thousands of them. You know, because they are isolated. They have no fun. You know, they have nothing to look forward to. They have no friends. They've got no girlfriend. You know, and what happens? You get angry. You know, the world sucks for those people. And they're looking around, you know, and so they lash it. Not that I'm justifying what they're doing, but anything. It's explaining that it's a consequence of that, not gun. The one guy ran down old people with an SUV at a Christmas parade. No, you don't need a gun to kill people. It's the same pattern, mental illness over and over again. That's what we have to address.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's also very salient at this time, too, because there's lots of conversations about gun laws in Canada and Trudeau trying to take everyone's guns, and he's making inroads into it. So, you know, people...
Take them,
yeah, yeah, he's... He's taken away handguns completely. Oh. Yeah, so handguns are gone. And then just recent legislation to reach in a little bit further into the hunter's locker, you know, and to try and say that some of the things are not used for hunting, but they are. It's like we have a lot of a good, long, strong, proud history of hunting in Canada and in the US and in many other countries too. And so, yeah, it's people who want to kill people will find a gun. Yeah, and it's not the hunters.
Study and said that gun owners in the United States have a lower rate of crime than police officers.
Right. Well, this we just got finished hunting season, Dr. LaGuardia, and there's somebody posted this meme about there was 100,000+ hunters out for the last 2 months, and crime has been almost nothing.
Right.
Everyone knew that everyone was packing guns around in their vehicles, so everyone settles down.
Right.
Like, it's not like we're just going to do random sprees of theft. And there, yeah, just this, it's very interesting how the psychology changes when everyone's kind of it.
Well, in New York, they published, some liberals published every homeowner, every gun owner's address in a certain county in Long Island, trying to somehow shame them and stuff. What happened was very interesting. Criminals saw it and they looked to check how they robbed, but made sure they weren't on the list.
Oh my goodness. Right.
So prosecutors, I thought it was hilarious. They said, well, they're robbing non-gun. It would have the exact opposite effect of what they wanted.
Love it. I love it. It's so bizarre though, because they'll put out this list of people who are gun owners, but they won't publish lists of pedophiles who are sex offenders on the sex offender registry. So you got to ask yourself, what's going on here? Right. Oh, because we got to protect the pedophiles who've raped and pillaged the little ones.
Can't have anything happen to them.
No, can't have anything to happen to them. They might decide to go and rob the gun owners. So better publish that list. Just keep the pedophiles safe. All right. I know that's really getting off on a tangent.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory, E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle Magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle Magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
But these things are all, they are and they're not, right? They are also interconnected.
It's all part of the same global madness.
Yes.
I'm sure historians will look back in a few hundred years and think, what were they thinking? What is going on there?
Right. And who survives is the big question, right? So as we go into 2023, it's like, are you on the list for, ask yourself, am I on the list to survive and thrive over the next 5 or 10 years? And is my family? And if the answer is no, then what are the things that you're going to do to change up what, you know, or take up your game a little bit to improve your chances of survival? Because it's, it is an all out assault on humankind. And, yeah, it's when you get together and you talk about just the number of directions that we are being taken out in, it is breathtaking. So you have to actually have people you can talk with and connect with and know that you're not crazy. Like MAID is this big thing, push to right now, you know, the assisted suicide by doctors, you know, so the people are mentally ill. People are in poverty now. There's lots of inflation. There's lots of, you know, people can't pay their bills. Their credit card debt is overwhelming. They don't want to tell their family. So instead, it used to be you actually had to have two doctors sign off on an assisted suicide. And now you don't need almost anything. And they're trying to push it into the population of children. The children can say when they want to end their own life.
Hey, cannabis is freaking me out lately. The more I hear about it, it's Trudeau is out of his mind.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on out there.
Yeah, but it is very, very, it's so stunning that most people don't believe it. And they go, your leader couldn't possibly be doing that. You go, yes, check into it. That is what's happening here. Euthanasia.
Klaus Schwab, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Another one trained by Klaus Schwab.
Yes. Oh, for sure. And so is Christiana Freeland, the second. And I think Jagmeet Singh also, you know, so again, it's like for people in the US or in the UK. Yeah. Look on that World Economic Forum website and you can see everyone who is trained there. There are all the people who are at the G7 summits and the, you know, the people who are talking the same talk. And I think we can say that confidently in this podcast because, you know, that it's pretty apparent and out there. 2 years ago, people were afraid to say anything because they didn't want to, you know, shake the tree, so to speak. But if we don't really start coming out and labeling who the enemy is, then you're really not going to do about anything about it because you just go along going, this will eventually end, but it might not end too well for us.
Right. Thank God Elon Musk pulled back the curtain a little bit.
Hmm.
That's been shocking. You know, mm-hmm. seeing collusion in the United States between the intelligence agencies and the federal government and the Democratic Party and the government in power against the people. Unbelievable stuff. You know, thank God he's at least, you know, shedding some light on that, because before that you were just a crazy conspiracy theory. You know, they would usually just say, no, you have no proof. But now we do. You know.
Yeah, there's, and that Hunter Biden information has been out for 2 years. I think that on that people who wanted to find it could find it. But again, people don't want to do their research. So they wait for the mass media platforms to provide it for them. Right. But I would invite people to go to jasonchristoff.com, his website, because I did an interview with him about brainwashing, and he's got an interesting article on Elon Musk. So I just invite people to go check that out and, you know, do your research on his research and see what you come up with. But anytime that someone's presented as our savior, again, it's like, I just encourage people to get out of the program. You've got to think for yourselves. You've got to think for yourselves, because anyone who's a multimillionaire, billionaire, you've really just got to go, what's in it for them? And how did they get in that position? And how did that all happen? And how much of it is real? And how much of it is fiction? And how much of it affects my real life?
Right.
And if it doesn't affect your real life, but some of this has really affected people's real lives.
Well, just look at the censorship on YouTube and stuff. I mean, it affects people like yourself who, you know, were out there speaking the truth to power, and they immediately, you know, put a check on it and, you know, and try to suppress you and, you know, delist you or whatever they do, demonetize you.
Yes.
Why can't we have a forum of open idea where the strongest ideas win and we show all sides of things? And that's what democracy is about. It's just the opposite of what we have.
Yeah, it is. And and thank you for mentioning that, because yes, I was definitely decimated on YouTube and demonetized. So that is real setbacks for people who want to speak the truth in any profession.
That's what you have to look at. Who are you threatening? You know, that they feel they have to do that. Mm-hmm. The truth always has to be suppressed. They're never suppressing lies. They're always suppressing the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting when I look at it in the book.
Yeah, but we shall carry on speaking the truth and sending out as much information as we can for people to get out of the chaos of their own minds and to look within yourself for your wellness and your for the voice of what it is that you're supposed to be doing. Because it's an internal voice of what it is that you're supposed to be doing. And most people have it, a conscience of some description.
Some don't.
Some don't. That's right. That's true. But if you're listening to this,
family and religion plays in there. And religion and, you know, morality. Nothing. There is, you know, this weird late thoughts lately of there is no right or wrong. That's nonsense. There's certainly right. There's always been right or wrong.
Yeah.
You know, you can blur it any way you want, but, you know, certain things are wrong. Pedophiles, you know, sexualizing children, destroying the family, destroying faith.
Right. Not being ethical yourself.
Right. These are all
not taking care of your health.
Right. This is all morality. It should be basic. It shouldn't be anything that the schools are running from. It should be running towards them. You know, it's sort of, these are the pillars that hold up Western society. That we as a society. We're tolerant. Yes, we're tolerant of stuff, but we've gone too far in the other direction. We're endorsing stuff. You know, it's fine. You're gay, you're transgender, it's fine. But I don't think it should be promoted in school, especially. You know, I don't think children should be allowed to have sex changes before they're 18 or 21 because they're just not capable. We don't let them vote because they can't make decisions. They're not capable of making informed consent decisions like that. And why are we taking that away from parents and allowing children to do that unilaterally? Unbelievable, in my opinion.
Yeah. And some of the parents are also brainwashed. Thoroughly brainwashed around that whole thing. And so it actually lets parents off the hook too, because if they've not attended to their children's basic physical health when they're young and gone, you know, you need to eat good food. And then all of a sudden you're acting like this and looking like this. And then you yourself have to go on with the narrative because the opposite thing is too difficult to face. That you really drop the ball, right? And it's like, oh, I dropped the ball. But guys, it's like, you got to realize who the enemy is. The psychologists of the world, not all of them, but Tavistock was the root of much evil in the world. So you can look up the Tavistock Institute. It's been around a very long time, but they were the hub for all of this transgender action for the last decades. And so what the current story is that Tavistock has shut their program down, but they really haven't. So do some research into that. Tavistock, that little program, has been dispersed into community centers. So, yeah. So the big headline was it's been shut down, but the actual truth is it's not. It's been disbanded into other community areas. Yeah, exactly. So it hasn't gone away. And there's a very long, long game at play. I remember, gosh, in 1991, because I was a counselor for a small school division. And at that time, there was, you know, sexual abuse stories coming out. That would have been like the early 90s. So in the 80s, there were, you know, stories coming out about sexual abuse, more so because the media was picking up and talking about them. But there, the whole push for there to be a change to the charter here in Canada that accepted sexual orientation as part of people's charter rights was pushed by the Man Boy Love Association, not by people who were actually gay. So it's been going, and I mean, that was 30 years ago. And prior to that,
it's the same group, you know, the United States, it's unbelievable. They didn't even show their faces in public. Much less advocate this stuff, and you know, crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy, but it is what is actually true. So I think it does smack most people, square between the eyes when they go, "How did we get in this shape? Did it happen so fast?" And it's the slippery slope of that we've let things sort of our own moral intelligence completely be hijacked by very, very sophisticated cultural means and memes. And so kind of coming back to that, you know, the center core goodness of ourselves and the knowing what's right and wrong is, you know, a call to action for everybody every day, not just at one time of year, but all the time. Every time you wake up, it's going, okay, it's like, what have I got to do today? Like, take my iodine, stay off the cell phone, sleep with my partner, make love with my partner, turn off the blue devices in my bedroom, get a good solid 8 hours sleep, wake up in the morning with my own passion at play. Like, what is it, the reason that I'm getting out of bed today? Is it because I'm hanging out with the grandkids and making snow angels? Or is it because I'm, you know, going great food in my geo ball in in Connecticut and writing another great book, which is what Dr. LaGuardia has got 3 books that he's put out. And he's got a beautiful organic farm in Connecticut and fighting the good fight, just keeping on, right? Trying, exactly.
So use the books, we can show them.
Yes, let's show the books. And okay. So everyone can get your copies for yourself.
Amazon, or any bookseller. First one is infected secrets from the medical underground. I teach you how to treat every infection from head to toe without pharmaceutical and give you multiple ways to treat one. My original book was the Doomsday Book of Medicine, 910 pages of preppery. Teaches them once again how to treat every medical problem. But also in this book and in my second book, the Bible of Alternative Medicine, I teach people how to grow good food, how the basics start in the soil, and how your health starts with the dirt you're growing your food from, and how you can supplement that and make that healthier for you and provide all the minerals and trace elements you need. And then I build it up from there. I tell you how you need hydration, you need rest, you need certain vitamins. And once I get the basics down, then I give them tools to treat problems that occur. And then I go into the whole body from head to toe, including depression, other things, and how to treat everything without pharmaceuticals. And once again, I give you multiple ways to do that. So it's not just one thing. You can have a few different ways. You can't get a hold of one.
Perfect. So it's the most beautiful gift that you can give for yourself or to your loved ones for Christmas, birthdays, or any time of the year. And there's books that we have on our bookshelf for many, many years. And most of them are to do with health and well-being and how to grow your own food. So as a farm girl, I can't wait to dive into this book. And for people who live into these books so that I can find out if there's other recipes and formulas that I myself have not quite done yet. And one of the challenges of living in a snowy environment is that you maybe can only grow food a couple of months of the year. So some other thing that people can check out is Tower Gardens, and you can find those on my website. So you can come to masteryourlife.ca on the shop page, and you can see, and Tower Gardens you can actually get right now. I know that lots of people have been having difficulty getting things shipped because there's been these supply chain issues, but you can get Tower Gardens. And so that's
limited space. That's
fabulous. Yes.
Vertically.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's lots of fun and lots of fun for yourself and some ways that you can chef it up with your loved ones and teach them a little bit about gardening and where their food comes from. And so
aeroponics versus aquaponics, more aeroponics.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't grow great big things. So you can't grow huge root vegetables in it, but you can grow all kinds of tomatoes, onions, lettuce, kale. I don't know if you can grow kelp. No.
You need an ocean.
Damn. That's right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being a great guest. Once again, Dr. LaGuardia, we're out of time, but I really appreciate your wisdom and your inspiration and just getting centered about what we can do in our own lives to take back our health and wellness and how people can help their loved ones to feel better this holiday season and beyond. So thanks again, Ralph.
God bless you for everything you do.
All right. Take care, everybody. Love yourselves. Love each other. Mind your minds. That's all for us. Bye for now.
Thank you for being a part of our program today. Master Your Life is a presentation of Leah Mattinson Enterprises, Inc. Join us next time on Master Your Life, helping you to discover the very best of you.